This is Vanessa on 90.1 with Concert Billboard for the New Year's concert listings for the month of January. On Thursday, January the 9th, James Thunderbird Davis at Manny's Car Wash. For Friday, January the 10th, Dick Fox's Royalty of Rock at Madison Square Garden. Ned's Atomic Dustbin at the Academy. And Brian Adams will be playing at the Ritz. For Saturday, January the 11th, Culture will be at the Beacon Theater. Wednesday, January the 15th, Joan Osborne at Manny's Car Wash. Thursday, January the 16th, Bobby Radcliffe at Manny's Car Wash. Friday, January the 17th, Marky Mark at the Ritz. Saturday, January the 18th, Richard Elliott at the Beacon Theater. Overkill and Biohazard and Helmet and Obituary will be playing at the Ritz. For Thursday, January the 23rd, Jimmy Rogers at Manny's Car Wash. For Saturday, January the 25th, Angela Bofill at the Beacon Theater. And Super Bowl of Hard Code 4, featuring Agnostic Front, will be at the Ritz. And for Monday, January the 27th, Rod Stewart will be at Madison Square Garden. For the latest concert listings, you can hear Concert Billboard 4 times a day. On weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m. And on weekends at 12 noon and 12 midnight. If you have any questions about upcoming concerts, give USB a call. Our number is 516-632-6901. Once again, this is the New Year's concert listings for the month of January. This is Vanessa signing out on WUSB Stony Brook.
Said, God is not the author of confusion. Yet, never has a book produced more confusion than the Bible. There are hundreds of denominations and sects, all using the inspired scriptures to prove their conflicting doctrines. Why do trained those kind of people differ? Why do educated translators disagree over Greek and Hebrew meanings? Why all the confusion? Shouldn't a divinely inspired document be as clear as possible? The problem is not with human limitations, as some claim. The problem is with the Bible itself. People who are free of bias Notice that the Bible contains hundreds of discrepancies. Should it surprise us when such a literary and moral mismatch taken seriously causes so much discord? Here is a rather short sampling of biblical contradictions. Thou shalt not kill. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and slay every man his brother, companion, neighbor. Thou shalt not kill. Should we tell lies? The Bible says, in the book of Proverbs and the book of Revelation, thou shalt not bear false witness. In the book of Joshua, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Well then, should we steal? Thou shalt not steal. Or, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Shall we keep the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Shall we make graven images? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven, earth, water. And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them. Are we saved through works? For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works. Or, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Should good works be seen? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Or, take heed that ye do not your aims before men to be seen of them, that thine aims... alms. Printing problem there. Alms may be in secret. Should we own slaves? Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and they shall be your possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. Or, undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. Does God change his mind? For I am the Lord, I change not. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Or, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Are we punished for our parents' sins? For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Or, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Is God good or evil? The Lord is good to all. Or, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Is God peaceable? In Isaiah 2:4, he is referred to as the God of peace. But in Joel 3:9 and a little bit of 10, the Lord is a man of war. Was Jesus peaceable? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Or, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Was Jesus trustworthy? Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Or, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Shall we call people names? Well, whosoever say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Or, Jesus said, ye fools and blind. Well, we know what he is. Has anyone seen God? No man hath seen God at any time. That's according to John 1:18. But in Genesis 32:30, for I have seen God face to face. Somebody's lying. How many gods are there? The Lord our God is one Lord. Or, and God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. Are we all sinners? Yes, for all have sinned. No, there was a man whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Should we swear an oath? If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Or, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven nor by the earth. When was Jesus crucified? Well, according to Mark 15:25, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. But in John 19:14-15, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, crucify him. Oh, that's 3 hours after they already crucified him. Shall we obey the law? Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Or, we ought to obey God rather than men. How many animals on the ark? Genesis 6:19, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. Genesis 7:2, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. Other controversial questions that are raised on a trip through the Bible: were men and women created equal? Were trees created before humans? Did Michael have children? Did Solomon have 4,000 or 40,000 stalls? Did Paul's men hear a voice? Who was Joseph's father? We've been listening to a non-tract, number 5, copyright 1988. And such things are available from Freedom From Religion Foundation. They're at P.O. Box 750, Madison, Wisconsin, 53701. In case you can't tell, the program is brain damage. Taking your phone calls at 632-6901, and that's area code 516. Hopefully you won't get a nasty noise like this, but you may get a nasty noise like this.
He's in love with a rock and roll wall. He's in love with a getting stoned wall. He's in love with a Jenny Jones wall. Don't like it before he comes out. He's in love with a rock and roll world. He's in love with a getting stone wall. He's in love with Jenny Jones. He don't like it for it comes out. And he knows what he's got to do. He knows he's gonna have fun with you. And he knows when the evening comes, when the job is done, he'll be over and it's up for you. It's his job. He's in love with a rock and roll world. He's in love with a getting stone world. He's in love with a Jenny Jones world. He don't like his boring dumb love. In the equate, lots of words. The boss and the firm always thinks he should. But he's just like everyone. He's got a photo. That's just a point that he'll have to love. He's in love with a rock and roll world. He's in love with a getting stone world. He's in love with a Jenny Jones world. He don't like it for a girl, no. And his voice don't quite fit. No payola in his alphabetical file. This time he's gonna really let the boss. He's gonna really tell the boss exactly what he feels. He's in love with a rock and roll world. He's in love with a getting stone world. He's in love with a Jenny Jones world.
And that's The Clash, Jenny Jones. The demo version from Clash on Broadway, yet another song that probably hasn't been really aired all that much, at least certainly not that version of it. And good evening, one and all. Good morning. It's once again time for Brain Damage, the free-form call-in program here on Long Island's first station of the 90s. And yes, I'm back, and I'm better than I was last week, that's for sure. I appreciate all the cards and letters and things like that. Sure do have a pile of them. All kinds of people concerned. Seems like they're mostly concerned over the future of the time slot and whether or not it's available. Sorry to disappoint you, but it's not. Because I survived, okay? So save your sentiments for some other time. We have a few things to talk about tonight. Quite a few things, actually. And people out there are welcome to talk about whatever they want to talk about. How many of you saw the president throwing up on TV? Was that a sight or what? You know, that was amazing. Oh, yeah, he wasn't actually throwing up on TV. No, okay. Technically, if you want to get technical about it, he was coughing. But, I mean, the guy was coughing because he was throwing up. I mean, that's what you do when you throw up. You cough. It's sort of like the same motion. First time ever, I think. I don't think we ever saw Nixon do that. You know, sort of the other way around with Nixon. He made people throw up, but you never saw him actually doing it. And there's word. There's word from today's paper. Word from today's paper that there's another tape. Another tape that has not yet been aired. You know how these things always pop up, no matter what happens? You know, a tree falls somewhere and somebody comes up with a hidden video of it. Well, there's a hidden video, folks. A hidden video. This comes from the Washington Post. A clear, dramatic videotape exists showing the moments when President George Bush reeled, vomited, passed out, and toppled from his chair at a dinner in Tokyo on Wednesday. Footage not seen in a previously released tape. The tape, which was viewed yesterday by the Washington Post, has not been broadcast, and officials of NHK, which is the Japanese television network responsible for filming the dinner, denied that such a tape existed. In other words, they're calling the Washington Post a bunch of liars. It reveals what happened immediately before the scenes that already have been broadcast. The tape was made after NHK set up two cameras in the banquet room at the residence of Prime Minister Kishi Miyazawa. One camera was left running when reporters were ordered out. NHK officials said a technician who saw the collapse on a remote monitor quickly pushed a button to start taping, but that half a minute or so was lost. But there is a tape that shows the entire crisis, and here's what happened. Everybody ready for this? Okay. While Miyazawa and Barbara Bush are talking, the clearly stricken president closes his eyes and his head reels. He turns pale and his head drops to his chest. Then he appears to pass out completely, and his inert body slumps to the left as he vomits toward Miyazawa, who I'm sure was not too pleased with that. Barbara Bush, looking horrified, she's good at that, reaches an arm out toward her husband. As the president falls from his chair towards Miyazawa's lap, she leaps up, puts her arms around her husband, and works to clear the vomit from his mouth with a napkin. Can't believe I'm reading this. This is disgusting. Miyazawa, remarkably calm, then cradles the president's head. As Secret Service agents gently put Bush on the floor and kick Miyazawa aside, the First Lady moves away. It was not clear yesterday why the crucial moments had not been broadcast. NHK officials, contacted after the full tape was shown to the Post, repeated their earlier explanation, which was that it didn't exist. NHK has cooperative arrangements with other networks around the world. There was disagreement here yesterday as to whether those partner networks had access to the signal from the unmanned camera. The tape is being viewed more as an example of bad manners than good journalism by Japanese officials. As penalty for broadcasting the footage, authorities said they would forbid NHK from covering functions at Miyazawa's residence. A government spokesman said it was considered impolite to show a visiting leader in a disheveled state. Well, he certainly was disheveled, and that's quite a sight. Now, does your opinion of Bush go up or down after you see him throw up on TV? What does that put him in your book? Awfully interesting question, one we never had to look at before. Okay, what else is going on? Well, it's an anniversary. Anniversary of a war, remember that? Only a year ago? And Iraq of all countries, is gearing up for mass celebrations to mark the anniversary of the mother of all battles, the Persian Gulf War, which is being portrayed here in Iraq, story from Reuters, dated Baghdad, as an Iraqi triumph against tyrannical aggression. Cries of "God is great" will blare from the loudspeakers of mosques, and church bells will peal throughout the country at 2:30 a.m. Friday. That's a year after the first U.S. cruise missiles and bombs slammed into Baghdad to begin the most intense air war in history. The war ended 42 days later, with Iraq's occupation army driven out of Kuwait, large parts of Iraq's infrastructure wrecked, and by tentative U.S. estimates, at least at least 100,000 Iraqis killed. Under humiliating ceasefire terms, Iraq agreed to destroy its weapons of mass destruction and open its military factories to United Nations inspectors. "We have nothing to be sorry about," Iraqi President Saddam Hussein told tribal leaders recently. "I never doubted, even for a moment, that we emerged triumphant from the war." The Iraqi leader's concept of triumph, explained in recent speeches, is based on the assertion that Iraq withstood attack by the largest military force ever assembled against an Arab country. Baghdad has organized what is billed as an international popular Islamic conference. According to officials, painters will begin working on huge mother-of-all-battles murals, and militants of the ruling Ba'ath Party will chant slogans against President George Bush and call for an end to the UN embargo on Iraq. If you like your own huge mother-of-all-battles mural, send us a check or something and we'll see what we can do. Yeah, we gave them exactly what they wanted, and martyrdom. Martyrdom is a big thing in Iraq these days. And what else? Good news. Yes, good news. There won't be a McDonald's in Manitouk. Isn't that nice? There was a huge fight about this. A lot of people were upset that McDonald's was moving into the tiny North Fork hamlet. But they said that they're not going to do it after all, even though they defeated all the environmentalists and everybody. They said due to the declining economic conditions on Long Island, and specifically on the East End, we have reluctantly decided to place our Manitouk restaurant on hold. They say they don't know if it will ever open. And that's the sad news coming from Manitouk, where I believe they scheduled a parade for tomorrow. And what else? There's a threat to video stores. That's right, in Rhode Island. Federal investigators are trying to find the source of a letter sent to video stores threatening them with destruction if they stock a Spike Lee movie about an interracial couple. At least 10 Rhode Island stores have received Providence postmark letters this week, purportedly from a group calling itself the Rhode Island White Aryan Resistance. Spells RYWAR. If video stores do not cancel their orders for Jungle Fever, the letter says, our Ku Klux Klan friends will light crosses in front of the video stores. I say go right ahead. Let's see who your Ku Klux Klan friends are. Well, just wait and see what happens when they light crosses in front of video stores. Fascinating. Okay, it's 28 minutes after 12 o'clock. Program is Brain Damage, and that's some of what's going on in the world. Let's find out what's going on in your world. Who shall we pick first? All right, we'll pick this one. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Morning.
What's on your mind?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Why do you waste so much time in the beginning?
Right. Good morning. I don't intend to waste much more time in the beginning.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about George Bush throwing up on TV.
Yeah, that was something, wasn't it?
Oh, that was funny. I mean, I would be embarrassed just to be like that on TV. Millions of people just...
All over the world.
I know, right?
And this is going to wind up on T-shirts. It's going to be played at parties.
Oh, I'd buy a T-shirt with him throwing up.
It's most incredible. Of course, we haven't seen the full video yet. We haven't seen, you know, the graphic, gory detail.
I can't wait to see that.
And that's, I'm sure CNN is going to get that. And I hope somebody out there tapes it, because I don't get CNN. You know, I'd like to know, does anybody have the CNN footage? I believe it was on CNN Headline News, where they were actually about to announce that Bush had died, because they got a fake report from somebody who said he was Bush's doctor. And he said that Bush had died, and apparently it somehow got to the anchor, who said, we just have this in, and then you hear somebody on the other side of the room yelling, stop, and they stopped it at the last possible second. But I'd love to see that on TV. I'd love to see what the reaction was.
Yeah.
So if anybody has that, please let me know.
I hope he doesn't die, man. I don't want Quayle to be the president.
Well, you see, that's raised a lot of questions with his heart palpitations and now this. I mean, it was just the flu. I mean, it was probably something like what I had last week, although I sure didn't do that. You know, it's raised the question. The president is not immortal. He's not immortal. Something could happen. And in those moments, you think, who's number two?
Dan Quayle. Oh, God.
Yeah, actually, I think who's number three, but...
yeah. I don't think Quayle would make a good president there.
Uh-huh.
We'd all be in trouble.
But how do you think he's doing as vice president?
Huh?
How do you think he's doing as vice president?
I don't hear that much about him, so...
Yeah, that's what a vice president's supposed to be, is out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. I don't even know, why was Bush over in Tokyo or whatever?
So, well, he's been on a Far Eastern swing to promote trade relations and get the Japanese to buy more cars. You know, what bothers me, though, is that Detroit doesn't make cars with the steering wheel on the right-hand side, and that's how they drive in Japan, you know? So that's got to account for something.
So they got to make, like, a whole different plant just to make those cars for them.
Right.
You can't make them out of the... the factories we have now.
Well, I mean, I don't see why it's that big a you know, they just make it differently, slightly differently. I'm sure they can use a lot of the same parts.
Yeah, they could.
They just put them in different places.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I mean, that's their way of driving, so we have to accommodate it. And
but why would they want to buy an American car that's worth, like, $30,000 to them?
Uh-huh.
Buy a Japanese car for $10,000, and it's better.
Well, that's a good question, and one that I think we should try to answer. And when we realize that we can't answer it, maybe we should start thinking of something else to do.
Yeah, because, like, I heard Japanese cars last longer than American cars.
But, well, let me ask you this, then. How come there's trade sanctions, not sanctions, but limitations that the Japanese have against American imports? I mean, if people aren't going to buy them anyways, why bother having any limits?
No idea.
Yeah, I don't understand that myself, because I don't think the Japanese are going to flock to buy American cars. So they should just make it unlimited, you know, sell as many cars as you want, but you're not going to, you know, outsell Japanese cars.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't even buy Japanese cars, like, not even bring them into the country, because the economy here now...
But they're made in the country, you know, Toyota has plants in this country.
We shouldn't even allow, like, them here.
But they employ American workers to make those cars.
But still, if we open more American factories and just sell American cars, I think we sell more.
But I think that would be sort of like what the Soviet Union tried to do, where they, you know, they made their inferior cars and they wouldn't listen to anybody else for God knows how long. Look what that's gotten them.
Or like that new company, Daihatsu or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Why should we have, like, all the new Japanese companies? We should just have, like, all the old ones and that's it.
Well, do you want to move ahead or do you want to stay behind the past? You know?
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but I think what we need is, you know, to be moving into the future, but also have a good sense of control, so that we're not just being dictated to by people in strange and distant lands.
Yeah, it's not like no big thing or anything. It's just that, like, the economy really stinks right now.
Yeah, but why do you think that is? And do you think it's because of the Japanese, or do you think it's because we're just, you know, we're spending too much on military goods?
I think it's the Japanese because, like, all the electronic stuff, all the cars, they're all Japanese. Nothing's American no more. Everything's made overseas.
But, you know, those same Japanese things are making our lives a lot easier, you know?
We have all the same stuff, like stereos and TVs, stuff like that. We make them, so what's wrong with those?
I don't think we make any DAT players, do we?
I have no idea.
I mean, I don't think we're on the cutting edge of technology anymore.
Yeah, well, it's our fault, because, like, we helped them build their country back up.
Uh-huh.
After we bombed them and everything, and helped them build more factories.
So. Yeah, but it's not so much that we helped them, it's that what they did after we helped them. You know, we got them to a certain stage, and then they, you know, they surpassed us at that same stage. We could have done the same thing.
Yeah, we could have, but...
I mean, culturally, we're completely different, but that doesn't mean you can't succeed and be innovative.
Yeah, like, whatever we buy from them, they should buy, like, almost equal of our stuff, like cars.
Well, keep in mind, they don't have as many people there as we do, and you can't force people to buy something they don't want.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. So you got to make something that people want, and then once you do that, then sure, it should be as open as we are to them.
We should make bicycles for them, because that's all they, like, ride over there.
No, that's not true. You're thinking of China.
Oh, all right, that's the other thing.
Japan, I don't think there's enough room to ride bicycles.
Close.
Yeah, yeah, that's close geographically, but that's about it.
Yeah, All right, I'll let you get to another phone call.
Okay, thanks for calling. That's what I call an interesting discussion. You know, I wish more of my callers would have interesting discussions like that instead of, just saying hi to Trudy or something or talking about, I don't know. I don't want to say trivial things, but you know what I mean. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
How are you feeling this weekend now?
Much, much better. After seeing Bush, I popped right back into shape.
That's great.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you and Matt good friends?
I'm sorry?
You and Matt good friends?
Well, we haven't spoken in a while, but,
I guess you spoke a lot on the air, though, huh?
Yeah, we speak a lot on the air, but never to each other.
Huh.
See, that's how you maintain a good relationship, is by not speaking to each other. Yeah.
I just got to ask you a few questions. I didn't really get to ask Matt a couple weeks ago.
You just got to ask me. You sound like a cop. You just got to ask me a few questions. Okay, go ahead. I've got nothing to hide.
You guys don't get paid for doing a show, right?
No, we don't get paid.
What do you guys do with it?
We get services.
You guys don't get bossed around or anything, but what do you do with it?
Well, we get bossed around plenty, but we do it because, well, how many other places can you do this? You know, look at your other radio stations. Your other radio stations, you always have to play exactly what they tell you to play. And lots of times it's nothing different. It's always the same music over and over again. About the most interesting thing you can say is what the temperature is going to be tomorrow. And, you know, if you don't believe that, just go around and look at the other radio stations, with the exception of a few around us, you know, in the non-commercial area.
I understand. Well,
there is no more freedom of speech on the radio. It's a sad thing. And so that's one reason why a lot of us are here.
Why are you guys on so late?
Why are we on so late? Well, it just happens to be this time. I mean, you know, I'm on the radio, and this is the time it happens to be.
I mean, you wouldn't get so many freaks calling up about, like, all this stupid stuff if you guys were on, like, a normal hour, because, like, right now, you know, like, not the most normal people are on the air right now. So.
Well, look, we're not the most normal people either, so...
Normal myself.
I like the audience we get this time.
You know, and, like, all kind of good stuff like that.
Uh-huh. No, I like the audience that's up at this hour. I think I can relate to them.
Yeah, no, I kind of know what you're saying. Well...
What else?
I'm about to say how to trim skis. Bunch of guys.
How to what?
I'm fat and smelly.
What? I can't understand a word you're saying. Gonna move on to another call. Good morning.
Well, you almost got lost.
I can't stand you either. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Yeah, I bet a lot of assassins got their guns loaded when they saw Bush ball the other day, huh?
Well, why would they need to?
Why would they need to
load their guns if the president has already fallen to the floor?
Well, maybe they thought quail was going to become president.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean they're hunting down quail.
I get that political joke going there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what would happen. It would be sure an interesting scenario if quail became president. But, you know, all right, let's assume.
Yeah.
You think Bush is going to get reelected?
Yeah.
Even though his popularity has really taken a dive here.
Yeah.
Really has. Okay.
I'm going to run David Duke or something.
I don't know. That's just it. You know, the Democrats are really blowing it by not having a good candidate. Maybe they will recruit David Duke. I don't know. But if he wins, it's very likely that the vice president is at least going to run for president. I mean, I think it's unprecedented that not happen, except for the case of maybe Agnew or something.
Yeah.
So he's going to run in 1996. And, you know, if Bush is doing well at that point, then Quayle is almost a shoo-in for the job.
Yeah.
So do you think that's a possibility?
I guess they have nothing to look forward to for presidents. Maybe like that goon that just called with Ron, that kid, whoever that was that just called before.
Uh-huh.
Imagine that kid being president.
Well, you know, I think you have to be at least 40 before you can actually win.
I don't even know how old he is anyway.
Well, I don't think he's 40, but...
You sound very, very mature.
You have to be a certain age.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of restrictions.
Yeah.
A lot of restrictions. But, you know, I heard that, I think something like either 4 out of 5 or 9 out of 10 Americans actually say they would vote for somebody who was Jewish, which is an amazing turnaround because you couldn't even vote for somebody who was Catholic back in the days of Kennedy. That was considered something astounding that we had a Catholic president.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You think people's attitudes are changing?
I don't think many people would vote for a Jewish president.
You don't think so? Even though the poll said 4 out of 5 or 9 out of 10 or something like that?
I don't know. I don't think Jews would do the right job, but I just don't think it'd be possible.
Uh-huh.
A lot of supremacists out there and stuff like that.
How about a woman president?
Oh, and that would never happen.
That'll never happen?
I could see a black president before a woman president.
You think there'd be a black president before a woman president?
I think so.
So people think that the job of president requires, you know...
a manly job.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you know, much as I don't like Margaret Thatcher, I think she did quite a manly job herself.
The ugly kid.
Yeah, and yeah, there have been plenty of women statesmen, statespeople.
I guess.
I just, you know, I hope we can overcome that.
Yeah. What was all that gibberish you were talking about at the beginning of the show?
Oh, I was just talking in tongues about various things. We were reading a non-tract about how confusing the Bible is.
Are you religious, or you just read that stuff?
No, I'm just into confusion.
Oh, okay. Because every like, beginning of the show, you always have that Bible stuff on.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There's a lot of it floating around. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are into religion.
Yeah, I guess.
A heck of a lot.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
And everywhere you go, there's churches.
Yeah, that's true.
And places of worship and, you know, pointy roofs and all that kind of thing.
Like, I can never see a satanic church or something.
That's what I want to know. You know, wouldn't it be something if there was like this...
I'm on top of the place I'd be meant.
This black church suddenly appeared, you know, jet black and you know, ominous looking in the middle of your town. Yeah, it would sure turn a few heads.
I'm sure people would protest, but I would like to see it. That'd be funny.
Uh-huh.
If there's any Satanists out there trying to build a church up.
Yeah, well, we found some sort of satanic cult out there in California.
Oh, really?
We found their phone number a couple of weeks ago.
I'm sure there's a few out here, too.
Yeah, well, you know, there might be. Yeah. There might be, so...
I found some dead chickens with no heads in the woods behind my house once.
Well, that's a natural phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time. Chickens are always losing their heads for one reason or another.
Yeah, they're probably just getting hit with something.
Yeah, you know, things fly around all the time.
Yeah.
Chickens, you know, they just get in their way. How, well, you know, when's the last time you stepped on a chicken? It happens almost daily.
All the time.
Sorry?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Almost every...
Where there's
every...
a chicken, there's something bad happening.
Yeah. Is there, like, any specific topic tonight, or you just talk about whatever?
Well, talking about the president throwing up on TV, we're talking about, let's see, what else are we talking about? The anniversary of the war?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the film JFK, which we haven't started talking about yet, but...
Oh, yeah. Very controversial film going there.
Have you seen it?
No.
It's a great film. I recommend people go out there and see it. I'm not a conspiratist or whatever you call those people. I'm not. You know, I just think it's a very interesting story and it's done very well.
Yeah.
And no matter what you believe, you've got to see this and just sort of experience the whole thing.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know who's on Saturday Night Live right now?
Well, I don't think it's appropriate to talk about what's on TV right now, but go ahead. What's on TV?
It's a good topic. Nirvana's on Saturday Night Live.
Nirvana's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
What do you think of that band?
What are you talking to somebody else back there?
No, I'm talking to you. What do you think of that band?
Oh, I like them.
You like them?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of band is that? Well, how do you describe them?
I guess they're hardcore now.
Hardcore?
Yeah,
hardcore?
I guess you could say it's alternative, like you said.
I don't know. I was listening to them the other day, and I don't think they're hardcore alternative or anything. Yeah, you know, they sound pretty mainstream to me.
Well, you don't like them?
Well, I didn't say that. I don't see anything, you know, different about them.
Yeah, I do. Well, the lead singer has purple hair now.
Well, you see, you can't see that on a record. You can only hear.
You can turn on Channel 4.
I can't turn on Channel 4. I'm on the radio.
Well, I have a TV and you don't.
That's one thing people on the radio cannot do is watch TV, unfortunately. I don't know if you realize that, folks, but that's sort of like a law.
Yeah, you don't get paid either, right?
It's physically, we're like cramped here in a little tiny room, and we can't see anything. We can just talk out on the radio.
You should force, who's the president of the story with, Marlboro or something?
Yeah, that's the last I heard.
You should tell him to give you some money for doing the show.
Well, yeah, I'll shake him down next time I run into him.
I think they spend too much time paying security guards off to chase skaters. I think that's like they spend all the money.
Well, you know, I think they should listen to my idea here and make USB people security guards. And that way we can chase the skaters,
yeah.
And we can program at the same time.
Why you doing the show is chase skaters?
Yeah, you like attach a little headset to your head.
Yeah, but there'll be no skaters here now.
And then then we can stay in the studio. We don't have to go outside if there's no skaters now.
That's true.
You see? So that way you don't have to pay security. You get quality radio programming, and, you know, we get to do what we want to do. And we get some exercise at the same time.
And let the skaters do what they want. They're a nice group of kids.
Well, maybe we will, you know? Maybe that it'll be our option.
Yeah. Because it's pretty lame, though, what they're doing there.
Uh-huh.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Well, I've been on there for, like, probably 2 years now, and it's like, really bad.
Well, how much worse can it possibly get? I mean, you know, they
In fact, today there was one man who didn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
Security guard. well, they didn't do nothing today, you know, surprisingly.
Uh-huh.
Nobody saw them, that's why.
Well.
Well.
So, what do these skaters do when they're on campus? They just skate and nothing else?
They're at a lecture center. You know that pyramid-shaped thing?
Yeah.
Skate, that's like basically the same thing people skate when they go there.
Uh-huh.
Does that look like destroyed to you?
Well, it's always looked destroyed.
It looked destroyed before skaters came there.
Well, it was built that way.
It was built with all the... It was all curb grinded up and stuff.
Well, I haven't seen it recently, I guess. I don't know what's been going on over there, but...
The thing
about buildings on campus, they tend to crumble. That much I do know. This building here that I'm in right now is crumbling.
What building are you in?
The Student Union building. The Health Science Center is crumbling.
All right.
But it's okay, you know, because it's the quality of life on the inside of those buildings that matters. And so, yeah, you know, you lose a building occasionally, but you keep the people, and that's where it's at.
Skaters never go on the inside of the building.
No, that would probably be inappropriate if skaters were skating around the hallways.
No, they never did. The only reason I've ever seen, like, skaters go inside is to buy a soda or something like that.
Uh-huh. And that's, you know, more money for the university.
Security guards always saying that we vandalize the things, but I see more vandalism from the students than from the skaters.
Uh-huh.
How is this?
Well, probably to older people, everybody looks the same.
Yeah, but...
Everybody under 30 looks different. The same.
Most students have books, most skaters have boards.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah.
So, hey, they should make skateboards that look like books. There you go. There's something, Madison Avenue. Think about that.
You know? The wheels and trucks.
Yeah, you just sort of fold it out and it becomes a skateboard.
That's, like break or something.
Well, you probably would, but then you buy another one.
Yeah, it's a chassis idea.
So. All right, listen, we're going to move on.
Okay. Blah, 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 blah.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. It's 12:47 in the morning. Program is Brain Damage. And here's an item. The Levittown man, apparently upset after his girlfriend broke up with him, used his skills as a telephone cable installer to listen in on a phone conversation she was having with a friend about the breakup. That's according to Nassau County Police. She realized he was eavesdropping when he joined in to question her version of the story. Donald Willett of... If I'm not going to give his address. Why do they print people's addresses in the paper? I don't understand that. Are you supposed to go and visit him? Well, anyway, he's a laid-off AT&T cable installer. He was arrested Thursday, charged with eavesdropping, which is a Class E felony. According to the police, about 10:45 p.m. on January 5th, Willett went to his 21-year-old ex-girlfriend's Hicksville home and climbed a nearby telephone pole. The young woman was upstairs on the phone talking with a girlfriend about the breakup. And in the middle of the conversation, she hears a voice saying, "Is that really what happened?" And she said, "Oh my God, Willie's in the house." She was in a panic. Her mother was downstairs, looked out a glass door and saw him coming off a fence, which is adjacent to the telephone pole. Willett fled. And after a four-day investigation, they found him, and he posted a $750 cash bail. Faces a 1 to 3 year sentence if found guilty. So next time you think of tapping into a phone call, think of the story here in Nassau County. Ah, yes, fascinating. I mentioned we were going to be talking about JFK. Well, seems to be causing quite a bit of consternation amongst elected officials and things like that. And, you know, you notice this in the newspapers a lot, that and TV as well, there's a lot of condemnation of the film because of what it says. And it really is so annoying because, you know, you got to see a film to see how it's portrayed, how the actors present the story, how the story is written, etc., etc. You know, things like that. People make films for the purposes of entertainment, and I don't think it's fair to judge it by the message it's sending. I don't think that's right, because the message is something completely different. It's how it holds together as an art form. That's how it should be judged, and it's not being judged that way. You know, the Newsday says, well, it's a heavy-handed kind of a film, and it says things, and there's no evidence to back it up. You know, let the people be the judge of whether there's evidence or not. I think the film does a fairly good job of presenting itself. And yes, it goes over 3 hours, and it's not really a lot of action except for the president being shot and all that, which is quite a lot of action in itself. But for a film to keep you on the edge of your seat, and I fell down onto the sticky floor a couple of times, for a film to do that, it's got to be doing something right. And I hope people go out there and see it. And I hope there's somebody on this line, somebody ringing these little red lights that has seen the film that can converse about it, because I'd like to know how it's being received. A letter in today's paper says the media is doing a great disservice to the American public by unfairly criticizing Oliver Stone's movie JFK. They are ignoring evidence that John F. Kennedy's assassination was a conspiracy probably initiated and planned by the CIA. The House, now this is interesting, folks, the House Select Committee on Assassinations in 1979 said that the assassination was a probable conspiracy. Anyone who says that the movie is fiction is either ignorant or closed-minded. There are important questions the media should be asking. Why keep the assassination files secret until the year 2029 if Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin? I saw the movie and read both of Jim Garrison's books, On the Trail of the Assassins and Heritage of Stone. The facts are clear. Instead of the media's attacking Stone and Garrison, they should be searching for the truth. Well, that letter written by Ann Garbatelli of Mineola, and I can say quite honestly that really, the last thing the media wants is truth. They want a story. They want headlines. They want ratings. And if the truth happens to go along with that, fine. But insofar as actually working for the truth, you're not going to find very many people, short of the very, very best, actually going out and working for the truth. So that's why it's up to people like you and me, common people, to demand that they do this, and if they don't do it ourselves. There's plenty of truth to be had out there. Senator Edward Kennedy said yesterday he won't see the controversial Oliver Stone film JFK, but agreed with one of its conclusions. All the secret records about the assassination of his brother, President John F. Kennedy, should be released. Kennedy told WGNC-TV, which is a cable television station based in Worcester, Massachusetts, a cable television station that said, why would they call themselves WGNC then if they're a cable TV station? I don't know about that one. WGNC-TV, a cable television station based in Worcester, Massachusetts, said, although he doesn't dwell on the assassination, scholars should have access to all the files. He said, I think you'll find out over any period of time that the Warren Commission was clearly the most responsible result, but I respect other people's conclusions. Kennedy's comments came as the former chairman of a House investigation into the November 22, 1963 killing indicated that he is thinking of seeking release of hundreds of boxes of records. I am certainly open to considering the issue, said Representative Lewis Stokes of Ohio. Stokes may propose releasing some 848 boxes of records locked up by the House Assassination Committee until the year 2029. The decision to seal the records has come under sharp criticism by researchers and is noted in a printed message at the end of the JFK film. A majority vote of the House would be required to release the records before 2029. That's all. That's all it's going to take is a majority vote of the House. So that means, you know, you get on the phone, you call Hochbruckner, you say, listen, George, I want those records before I die. I want to see what's in there. I want to know what they're saying, and there's no reason to keep it hidden, is there? And Hochbruckner will vote yes. And then just a couple hundred more to go, and we've got it. If everybody does this, we can actually find out something. Then we can say if the film is hogwash or not, as far as the facts that it presents. Either way, it's a great dramatic piece, I think. Anyway, without Stokes' support, there is little chance that the House would vote to unseal the records. Stokes said that before making up his mind, he would listen to public opinion and the preferences of his fellow lawmakers. I will be open to listening to whatever anyone has to say regarding it, he said. Among the House Committee records still under seal is a 375-page staff report on Lee Harvey Oswald's connections in Mexico City. According to James Lezar, a lawyer who heads the Washington-based Assassination Archives and Research Center, Oswald visited the Soviet embassy in Mexico City 7 weeks before Kennedy's assassination and reportedly sought entry to Cuba. The Warren Commission, in an investigation begun immediately after the assassination, concluded that Oswald acted alone in murdering the president. The House committee, based on acoustical evidence, concluded in 1978 that Kennedy probably was assassinated as the result of a conspiracy involving a second gunman. The panel also said there was a likelihood that the 1968 assassination of Reverend Martin Luther King stemmed from a conspiracy. JFK adopts the theory of former New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison that the assassination was part of a broad plot extending into the federal government and organized crime, a plot to eliminate Kennedy and bring on a more hawkish President Lyndon Johnson. Historians have criticized the film for several inaccuracies. But one inaccuracy that I don't believe exists is that Kennedy had signed an executive order, that ordered troops out of Vietnam just prior to his death. And it looked like the war was going to draw to a close. And, of course, we all know what happened once Johnson got in power. Ted Kennedy, said he has no desire to see the movie, which shows actual footage of the killing and includes a graphic reenactment of the autopsy. It is distressing and saddening, Kennedy said. Obviously, it's a very painful experience to have. You know, the advertisement, the pictures, the scenes. Kennedy spokeswoman Melody Miller said the family has no control over the records and evidence of the assassination, but the National Archives, which oversees both the Warren Commission and House records, has honored a Kennedy family request not to make public autopsy photos in the slain president's blood-stained clothing. Kevin Walsh, a former Assassination Committee staffer, said that 95% of the records surrounding the Warren Commission's probe have been made available to the public. The House Committee published 27 volumes of material in 1979, but sent the 848 boxes of raw material to the archives for secure storage. Besides the remaining House Committee files, about 2% of the Warren Commission's records are still sealed for national security reasons, said Jill Brett, a spokeswoman for the National Archives, which holds them. She said the archives recently began one of its regular reviews of the material to determine which files, if any, might be released under existing guidelines. Brett said any recommendations for release of material would be sent to the National Security Council for a final decision. The NSC is headed by the president. So, would be something, folks. Would be something if, because of this film, because of public pressure, these documents were actually released and we found out at least more of the facts. You know, it'd be sort of like democracy in action. Democracy Eastern Europe style, where the people want something, and because they want something, they get it. When's the last time that happened here? 12:58 in the morning. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage. Our phone number is 632-6901. And let's take a call or two. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
You know, you talk too much.
Well, I'm doing a talk show. What do you expect?
Well, you need more callers.
I've got plenty of callers. I have callers up the wazoo here. Now, you're one of them. What's on your mind? Besides the fact
that
I talk
to you. Switchboard?
Sorry?
You have a bingo on the switchboard?
A full bingo, yes.
Okay, you know what's going to happen in a month or so if you keep babbling on and not taking calls?
What?
You're going to be begging people to call the show.
Well, then I'll be begging people to call the show. I'll have more time to talk about other things.
Yeah, all right, anyway, what I wanted to get to was, it was like a month ago.
Yeah.
Like Wednesday is January 15th, right?
Wednesday is January 15th.
Right, that's the day dogs are going to take over the world.
That's the day dogs are going to take over the world?
Yep.
Where did you hear that?
I called you a month ago, and I was talking about it, and I told you they were going to bomb us with dogs crap.
You know, I do remember that, actually.
You remember that?
Yeah, it's too bad that you remember it, too, but as long as you brought it up again, continue with the whole theory.
I told you, they're going to take over the world Wednesday. This is going to be the last Brain Damage show Brain Damage show hosted by you because next week there's going to be a dog on it.
Well, actually, I won't be here next week, and I won't be here the week after that either. But
and
I don't.
Yeah, again, because there's going to be a dog taking over the show.
Well, that might be too, but I don't. That's not the reason I'm not planning on being here. But
next week, Matt's supposed to be here?
Well, I haven't told him yet, but I think he is.
All right, but if he is here, but I mean, he's not going to be here. It's going to be a dog.
Uh huh.
Actually, my dog told me he wants to.
I'm sure he does.
Really, because my dog was telling me about this because, you know, my dog's really loyal to me.
Uh-huh.
So they're not going to bomb my house because I'm cool to my dog.
So wait, if you're on good terms with your dog, it's likely that you won't be affected.
Well, yeah, I won't be affected, but, yeah, I'm still going to call the show, though. And I think if my dog...
Wait a minute. Wait, whoa. You're still going to call the show. You just said the show isn't going to be on.
No, there's going to be a dog hosting the show. I said you or Manon can be there. There's going to be a dog hosting.
There's going to be a dog hosting my show. There's no dogs allowed in the building, let alone the station.
The dogs take over the world. They can do anything they want.
Even violate building ordinances?
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty frightening
thing. Yeah, there's going to be a dog. There's going to be a dominant pincher by the name of George. He's going to be the president.
Well, we won't fool too many people with that.
He's going to be the vice president.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's going to be a terrible thing.
Well, I'm sure glad we've got the advance notice on this, because that'll give us time to plan things out.
No, I'm just telling you, you know, and they're gonna take over the Commonwealth of Independent States and make it back to the Soviet Union.
Well, you know, I think you're the first person on this show to actually call it by its rightful name, the Commonwealth of Independent States.
No, I watch the news too.
Yeah, well, that's good that you actually know that. I mean, can you walk up to people on the street and ask them where the Commonwealth of Independent States is and have them give an answer? Okay, all right, I'm going to be cruel. Can you name the Independent States?
No. Seriously, though, what I want to ask you was, are they like six separate countries, or are they just like a loosely joined union?
Supposedly, they're you know, a confederation, but they are all independent, all separate countries. And
because
it's more than six.
United States was in.
It's 12 altogether. Actually, it's 11.
They were a confederacy.
Uh-huh.
Like the 13 colonies want to be separate, but I'm hearing that they join loosely together because there's the Russian hockey team for the Olympics was renamed the CIS hockey team.
No, it's not.
It is.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
But they were CCCP, and we called them USSR. How is it that they wind up being CIS?
Oh, for American terms, because there was an exhibition game on last week.
Uh-huh.
And they added CIS with the new flag.
Yeah, it's interesting. For years here at Stony Brook, CIS meant adult education classes. I don't know why. It meant continuing instructional services or something like that. So now I wonder if they're going to change the name of that or if they'll just continue.
I don't know, but that's what they did, so I don't know if, you know... My social studies teacher doesn't even know yet either.
Doesn't know what?
That he doesn't know if they're separate countries or if they're a loosely joined union.
Well, they're both. They are separate countries. They have their own borders.
Oh.
They have their own laws, and supposedly they have their own armies too.
Really?
But they're banded together for economic reasons, political reasons. But as far as I'm told, you know, they are completely independent.
Yeah, they tripled their prices too, right?
Well, Russia did.
Yeah.
At least they tripled their prices. I think.
Russia is a separate country.
Yeah, Russia is a separate country. In fact, Russia is probably the biggest, I mean, definitely the biggest one of all, but almost the size of the Soviet Union. Almost the size of the entire Soviet Union is Russia.
What are the other ones?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to see if some of the listeners could get them. I can name some of them. I can't name all of them, all right? I cannot name certain things. I can name Turkmenistan and Azerbaijan and Armenia and Georgia and Ukraine. Okay, so that gives you a good start. But there's other ones, and I want to see if other people out there know them.
Well,
I really would like to know that.
Probably in this, you have the paper from New Year's Day, it's probably in there.
Probably, yeah. So that'd be pretty easy to do, but, you know, we should know these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're very hard to pronounce, I know that.
Well, I mean, in 20 years from now, my kids, well, I'm 16, but my kids are going to be learning about this whole story. I could say I lived it.
Yeah, and you certainly are, you know, it's and you should go over there and check it out, because it's history in the making.
And the Gulf War, I could say I lived that.
Yeah, you could say that, too. Whatever that was, we all lived that. I imagine we'll be finding out bits and pieces about that in the years to come. You know, now they're saying that the Patriot missile was a failure. You know, now they're saying that...
It was a failure?
Yeah, they're saying that it actually missed 95% of the time when it got shot up, and that it's just because the Scud missiles were so inferior, they were exploding themselves, and they weren't ever being hit.
Really?
That's what they're saying, and I can't believe it. You know, we're told one thing, and then, you know, less than a year later, we're told something completely different.
Well, I don't think that really matters, because I don't think we're going to get in a nuclear war with Russia anymore.
Well, no, that's true, but as long as you have all these nuclear weapons lying around, there's always the possibility of a nuclear accident of some sort.
Right.
And that's why we've got to get a handle on the situation.
Well, unless we get someone from another galaxy, another planet or something.
Well, yeah, there's always that possibility. we're so messed up here on this planet, I don't know what's going to happen when we find other ones. And we just found a couple of planets this week. It's a historic week for astronomy. they actually have finally determined that they found planets circling around a quasar, of all things.
Really?
Wait, was it a quasar or was it a, what's that thing that blinks really quickly? You know, it's a collapsed star, and a pulsar, that's it.
Yeah.
And this star is only 12 miles wide.
The planet?
No, the star.
It's only 12 miles wide?
The star is only 12 miles wide because it's collapsed into itself, mm-hmm. and it's extremely dense, and it's rotating at such a quick rate, like hundreds of thousands of times a second.
Rotating?
The star.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what makes it into a pulsar, because it's going
so
fast. And it's, you know, there's planets revolving around this pulsar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most incredible thing.
Yeah.
So there are planets. There are planets circling other suns.
Any life on the planets that they find?
Well, see, they haven't been there yet. They just are able to detect it. I think it was a telescope in Puerto Rico or something. So it's going to be a while before we can tell if there's life on them. But the fact that there's planets around other suns means that it's very likely there's life.
You know something really scary?
What's that?
If George Bush would have died, Dan Quayle would have been the president.
Well, yeah, that's true. We've discussed that many, many times. And
I mean, no, I was scared when they first heard about him being sick.
Uh-huh.
And then I was crapping in my pants when I was watching Johnny Carson, and he interrupted for a special report about it, and they said he was okay. I was like, phew.
Oh, so you saw it actually as it was unfolding. Well, how did they break the news to people?
Oh, no, this was afterwards. I knew that he was sick, and then right. When Johnny Carson was doing his monologue, which I was really upset about, that they broke it in just to tell everybody that he was doing okay.
Uh-huh. Well, it's nice of them to do that, to check in. And what did Letterman have to say? I can imagine.
I don't know. I fell asleep.
There must have been a top 10 that was unbelievable for that particular episode. But I don't know. I guess we'll find out sooner or later.
If what Dan Quayle was doing when he was president.
No, that's the one I don't want to hear. All right, listen, thanks very much for calling.
All right.
632-6901, good morning.
This is the voice of doom.
Well, I've heard that before, and it doesn't scare me anymore.
It's, man, I didn't trick you.
Well, I must say it was a good attempt.
I know, I don't sound like him. He has like a voice that just can't be imitated.
Well, you know who you're talking about.
Yeah, man, I've been around for years.
Well, where is he?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I'd sure like to hear him.
He lived the memory. I don't know. Maybe he moved or something.
He's talking about one of our oldest calls. Well, not oldest as in age, but, you know, goes years back.
Maybe he just got sick.
The voice of doom.
So fast, and he's talking so much.
Or maybe he knew something that the government didn't want him to reveal, and now he's in a sanatorium somewhere.
No, I think that he just got sick of you talking so much and not taking very many calls.
Well, it seems to me I've been taking a lot of calls. I've taken every call that I've received so far.
Yeah, but people wait for like half an hour. I've been waiting for half an hour. But anyway, let's not talk about that. I mean, it is a valid point. I really think you should start taking more calls.
Well, I don't think anything I was talking about is not of interest.
But anyway, the real question here is, you bunch of jerks at WSB last year.
Yeah.
All you hippies, man.
Hippies?
Man.
Last time I saw a hippie in this place.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever seen a hippie in this place.
Yeah, all over WSB, all protesting the war and stuff. What a bunch of geeks. What a bunch of dorks. I can't believe that, man. And now it's over, and you got... You know what? Listen to this. I think this is my theory. You know, you can blast it all you want, but every person that protested in the war last year was just a bunch of hippies from the 60s that didn't find meaning in their life because all they were doing was sitting there protesting. Oh, flowers in their hair.
Well, you know, that'd become very interesting news to people that weren't even alive in the 60s that were protesting.
That's another thing. They're all trying to recapture the glory of their fun back.
Well, what do you think Bush is doing? He's recapturing the glory of America in its glory days. Everyone's trying to recapture something from the past.
The glory of the Depression era?
No,
the glory of the Depression era, is that what
the glory of the
man?
Glory of World War II, you know, winning World War II and all that, and actually hitting Iraq with more force than we hit Japan and Germany. You know, it's kind of crazy.
It is crazy, man. He's such a geek.
Who, Bush?
Yeah, man. He's such a. I can't even believe it, man. My parents voted for him.
Wait a minute. Whose side are you on anyway?
I'm not on anybody's side.
Apparently
man.
Not. You've been flip-flopping around like a ping-pong ball.
How do you figure?
Well, because first you call people hippies, and then you call Bush a geek.
He is a geek, man. Look at the economy, man.
Yeah, you can unite opposing sides. You realize that.
The time he realizes he's going to get voted out of office is the only time he does something. He goes to Japan because he knows everybody's not going to vote for him because we're in such crappy shape. The whole infrastructure of America is totally in pieces, and now he's going to get voted out of office. So he goes to Japan, tries to do something, and he throws up. What a dork.
Well, yes, I guess his trip didn't go quite the way he wanted it to, but...
You know, maybe it was just to put more spotlight on his trip.
Well, it sure had that effect. It definitely put worldwide attention on it.
Maybe it was a little practical joke, and he's laughing right now.
You know what's going to come up in the election year? You know what's going to come up in the debates and all that?
What's that?
The fact that, you know, he was sick and that people were worried about Quayle, you know, taking over.
Well, it's gonna, that too, man. Quayle.
Yeah, he's got to be very careful in the months ahead.
That's such a joke.
Yeah, and Quayle's got to keep quiet.
You don't have anybody to vote for president. I think you should vote for president because the presidents talk too much.
You should vote.
I think he'd be a good president.
Well, I don't know where this conversation is going, but I sure don't like the road we're going down.
Hey, but I'm thinking you'd be a good president, though. Because, I mean, you have your head on straight. But I don't agree with David Duke. He's a racist and he's a bad guy and all that, but he does bring up some valid points, such as welfare.
Yeah, well, it's easy to bring up points. It's a lot harder to solve problems.
Oh, he has some plans. He has some good plans. I mean, he has some terrible plans, too. I mean, he's another winner. He's such a geek, too, but I mean, he does address some problems that Bush hasn't, such as the cheaters of the welfare system.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think, you know, that's a problem. I don't think it's the number one problem facing the country today. I don't think that's responsible for a lot of money going down the tubes. I think there's all kinds of other things we can point to.
Health care. Yeah, this whole country's a mess.
Yeah, what about national health care? That's something that we should all be considering here. We should all be talking about.
This whole country is such a mess. How do we get here, man?
I don't know. I just found myself here one day.
Oh, me too. You know, I can't get over it. Where are we going to be in 20 years?
I don't know. Probably in another century. Listen,
I don't know.
Thanks for calling. I think we're talking too much there. 632-6901. Everyone's got something to preach about, I guess. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know when the Nirvana concert is?
Nirvana concert? Don't tell me they're coming to campus.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Really? Nirvana's coming here?
I heard.
Oh, boy. As you can see, I can barely contain my enthusiasm. I don't know, but the Concert Billboard can tell you. Concert Billboard is aired every so often here on the radio station. I know it's on at midnight. Of course,
right.
That doesn't help you very much, but, you know, it's on about four times a day.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay, wait, I've got a book here. This is a book for ticket giveaway, so I don't know if it will have the... It's supposed to have a list of concerts. Wait, that might be it on the other side of the room. You want to talk for a second while I walk over there and see if that's it?
Yeah, I'd like to say that. I think the Skinheads are awesome.
That's good. Keep it up.
And I want to meet them.
Yeah, keep going.
What?
Keep talking. I'm reading something. Keep talking.
All right. I think the Skinheads are hot. I'd be honored if one would rate me.
All right. Enough of that. Well, unfortunately, I could not find any Nirvana there on the concert listing. But it probably would be best if that person stayed home and watched TV anyway. Good morning, you're on.
Yeah, hello, my name's Will.
Yeah, hi, Will.
And I'm a skinhead, and about George Bush throwing up.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah. When he probably threw up, he probably said about four.
Okay, wait, that reminds me of a joke. Yeah, what was the joke again? Somebody told me this joke just the other day. I'm trying to remember what it was. Well, I'll keep thinking about it, but it's a good joke. It's a good joke. All right, I remember the punchline, okay? But President Bush, you brought it up. But I forget what the rest of it is. I'm sorry, but I forget what the rest of it is. You can sort of construct a joke out of that. And I think you'll have something, a hit at a party, definitely. Good morning.
Yeah, I saw JFK.
You saw JFK? Great. What did you think of it?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah?
I hurt my back.
hurt your neck because you were leaning on your edge of your seat so much.
Uh-huh.
Well, that makes sense. 3 hours long, huh?
Yep.
And you made it through without any problems.
Nope.
So do you think it was a conspiracy?
Yeah,
did you know about this kind of thing before you saw the film, or did it wake you up to a lot of it? Sorry?
No, I didn't.
Yeah?
Oh.
Well, you think more people should know about that?
Yeah.
And you think those papers should be released before 2029?
Yeah.
How old will you be in 2029?
I'll be 29.
Just add, add 38 to however old you are now.
Oh, okay. I'll be 41. No.
You're 3 years old now?
51.
How old?
51.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you're content to wait that long. I don't think I'm content to wait that long. I'd sure like to find out now. There's also a file about Martin Luther King, too, that's being suppressed. And hopefully that will be released before, too long. So people know what's really going on.
I don't think Lee Harvey Oswald did it. Well, I think it had something to do with it, but I don't think he really...
Yeah, well, they say it's physically impossible for somebody to have fired 3 shots in that period of time.
5 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, it's physically impossible, and for him to, to have gotten him at particularly that point.
I like the way he explained it with the other shooters.
Yeah.
How he shot him in the throat, and then in the back, and in the back of the head.
And then the magic bullet that did all these amazing things. There was this one bullet that seems to have hit everybody, made 90-degree turns, and split into a million pieces, and yet was found completely intact next to the president's body on a stretcher.
Uh-huh.
Most amazing. Most amazing. So what made you go see the film? Just curiosity or peer pressure?
Well, my cousin made me see it.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're going to see the... Not what we're going to see.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to see The Last Boy Scout, but it wasn't playing at the right time.
Ah, so you saw JFK instead. Tell me, was the theater full?
Yeah.
And did people seem to get into it?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah? I noticed, that film was unique because everybody seemed to stay for the credits.
I know, it's crowded.
Yeah, it was a lot of films, people don't do that. And especially a lot of films that are over 3 hours long, people don't want to stay for the credits as well, but... This particular time, they did.
I know.
So that's got to tell you something. Whether or not it speaks the truth, and there's really no way to tell that without all the facts. It's got to be a good film if you can stay that long and still be interested.
Yeah, I think what really kept me going was the part when he went to Washington and that guy.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, just started telling him all this stuff.
Yeah, the guy at the Lincoln Memorial, Donald Sutherland.
That was really good.
Who played a character called X.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you realize Donald Sutherland is such a good actor. He kept you so riveted, and he wasn't doing anything. All he was doing was talking. But
yeah,
by talking he scared you. He really made you live through things.
Like the part where he said he was in New Zealand and the stories in the papers before it really happened.
Right. Yeah, what he was referring to was I believe it was in New Zealand. New Zealand newspapers published a full biography of Lee Harvey Oswald, and they published it before American papers were able to find out who Lee Harvey Oswald was.
Yeah.
So how did they know? How were they able to get that information so quickly before American papers? It's as if the whole thing was planted in advance.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So anyway, the character played by Donald Sutherland, known as X, was a high-ranking intelligence officer who... had access to a lot of knowledge and tipped off the district attorney known as Garrison. And it was, it was pretty, pretty moving film, I think.
It was.
All right, listen, thanks very much for calling.
All right.
Okay, it's good to know people out there are actually paying attention and seeing interesting things, good things, on the big screen. Okay, 632-6901 is our telephone number. And, people have been after me to make another phone call. Yes, another phone call to various news lines that exist out there. And, well, I think we'll get to this within the next 15 minutes or so. So, just a little hint of what's to come. Nothing confirming it yet. Nothing we're committed to, but we're going to call something. So, be forewarned. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
See, this thing with skinheads, you want to get something really funny, that what I did to skinheads?
What you did to skinheads?
Yeah, see, I work in the pizza joint.
Uh-huh.
I won't say which one because I'm afraid it might, like, rot.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good idea to say which one. But go ahead and just tell us.
It's a pizza place. Okay. These skinheads, they walk into the pizza place and, like, yeah, give me a blanking pizza. I won't curse over there. So I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, it's like, anything on it? He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, put a blanking pepperoni and blanking meatballs and blanking onions.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like that. I'm like, all right, whatever. So we take the pizza in the back, right? We lick in the pepperonis and put them on and, like, spitting on the pie and everything. You know, we were in the back of the kitchen sitting and see us doing this, so. So, you know, we put it in. There was like five or six of the guys in. They stayed. They sat down. They sat down on the thing. They started eating the thing and everything. It was like, you know, we're sitting there and we're throwing dough at each other. We're like, pissing each other, like, laughing our butts off. And the guy, he comes back up. He's like, man, that was the best effing pizza we ever ate. I was like,
and that's your story, huh?
I mean, I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, it's, you know, it's funny, but
I wet my pants when he said that, though.
Uh-huh.
I was wetting my pants when he said that.
Now, was it because of their language that you did that, or because of the fact that...
I mean, we're walking the joint, you know, we're being nice when people come in. You know, we don't say, yeah, here's your effing change, you know. You know, we're nice, you know, we say have a good night and everything.
Uh-huh.
And they just came in, you know, they started, you know, no reason, they're cursing. And, like, my boss is, like, you know, like, he's, like, 50, 60 years old, and, you know, he's been around for a while, and, he doesn't like that kind of language. I mean, he fired one kid for cursing at him.
Really?
You know, and he just, you know, he didn't like it, so he's like, yeah, all right, let's do it, so we did it.
You know, I think it's a cultural thing as far as that goes. I mean, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's acceptable or anything like that, but I just for your actions, I would require a lot more than just that. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I would require something that really made me hate somebody to do something like that to them, and I just don't think that language alone could do that. You know?
Yeah, but also the fact that they were skinheads.
Well, now what does that mean? You know, they were skinheads. What? They had no hair. You know?
They didn't have no hair. They, like, we smelled beer and joints on their breath. You know, you could tell they were smoking pot.
Uh-huh.
But who knows? Who knows what else to do?
But did they do anything? I mean, they even came up to you and complimented you, you know?
Yeah, well, after we were done with it. But,
right. Well,
I mean,
did you feel any kind of remorse at all?
No. I mean, not for a skinhead who would come up and is rude to us.
So, I don't know. Somehow it strikes me that skinheads are not the problem here. You know what I mean?
Well, you're saying we're the problem?
Well, I don't know who we is.
I mean, I'm a normal person.
Well, I don't think any of us are normal, but
I'm not in the category of...
Look, all I'm saying is, what these guys did was, they used harsh language, yes.
Right.
Apparently they were drinking beer and smoking pot. Okay, they were doing that too.
Right.
But as far as what they actually did, you know, they represented something, and a lot of us believe that means that they're, you know, bad people.
Beating people up?
Right, but did they actually do that, or did they just remind you of people that did?
Well, they did, but, I mean, in today's world, you're going to have to...
You see, if you knew that they were responsible for something like that, then I would applaud your actions.
Well.
But, you know, not knowing that and just basing it on the way they look and the way they talk, I don't know if that's enough. You know?
Well, was it not for us?
But I wouldn't, you know, what you've told me so far might be enough for people to remember that they are, in fact, skinheads. They went into your, you know, a pizza place, and that's exactly how the conversation went. So I hope you change some of the facts.
Well, no.
Okay, well, then you might have to explain your actions a little bit more to some other people. But, you know.
But, you know, how are they going to know what pizza place?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe a lot of pizza places will have retribution staged against them.
I've been in pizza places, and now, oh, I'm in trouble.
Well, I doubt it's going to affect you very much.
Oh, great. Now, you know what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks? Well, the only pizza places are going to get blown up.
Well, it's a small price to pay for continued discussion such as this.
Maybe they'll blow up Domino's because their pizza's disgusting.
Well, you can't walk into Domino's and get a slice. You know, that's what people don't seem to realize about Domino's. You can't buy a slice.
Well, they didn't pie slice. They bought a whole pie.
Oh, okay.
But a fresh pie. So
well,
that's, you know,
but you can buy a slice, right?
What?
You can buy a slice.
And where I work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All pizza places you can. Domino's is not a pizza place. I keep telling people that. Pizza Hut is not a pizza place. You can't go in, you can't buy a slice. You have to buy a whole pie. It's not even a real pie. They don't even slice it right. They slice it into, what, 16 instead of 8?
I don't know.
You call that a pie? No, it's not.
No, large pie, eight slices.
Well, they changed it. Well, it used to be 16. That's all I remember.
Yeah, that's Sicilian.
That way they could say, we give you twice as many slices. Yeah, right. Who are you fooling with that kind of thing?
Buy an 18-inch pizza. You want to cut it in 6 slices or 12?
6 or 12?
The guy says 6 because I can't eat 12.
That's that takes a lot of thinking to come up with.
One more thing, what's 2Q plus 2Q?
All right, I think this has gone far enough. Thanks so much for calling. Good evening.
Hello.
Good morning, rather. Hi, how you doing?
Good. I just heard that guy on the radio, and I think it was rude what he did.
Yeah? I agree. And I was trying to convey that to him in a gentle way of conveying things.
I know. I have a lot of friends who are like that, and we go into places.
Like which? Who, they're like what?
They're like, you know, they're different. Like my...
Like the skinheads?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're like nice to people, and they're rude to us.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'll look at us like we have five heads, and...
It's a cultural thing, and they're scared of your culture.
And... It just shows that he wasn't any better than they were for spitting on their pizza.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that kind of thing. If somebody that has hurt you personally or you know has hurt other people, you know, then you have to take whatever action you have to take. But if it's just someone that reminds you of someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see maybe if he, like, made a thing on his nationality or something.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, called him, like, a Guido or something.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't do that. That was, like, wrong.
Yeah,
it just pisses me off. It's just like he's probably sexist too.
Well, I don't know how would you draw that from what he told us?
Because he like maybe like just because he saw a shaved head, he assumed they were skinheads.
Uh huh.
So he didn't like specify that they had no hair.
Right.
I mean, my dad. Okay, I shave my head. He thinks I'm a skinhead because I do it. But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just. I don't know. He probably is.
Well, you know, I think we just need to start with all this labeling, you know, like somebody with a shaved head is a skinhead, you know, and...
Maybe he just likes... I mean, what would you consider Telly Savalas? He has no hair. I mean, he's bald. He's not a skinhead.
Well, I don't know. Has anyone asked him?
Maybe he is, you know.
He could have, you know, sympathetic leanings.
Put on his pizza.
Well, I don't think he'd go for that very well.
No, he'd be kind of upset. But,
you know, I just... It's
just like teachers in school. I have teachers. There's a teacher in school. She hates me.
Because of your head?
Yeah, she hates me because of my head and because I paint my nails different colors. And
uh-huh.
She hates my friend, too. She, like, accuses us of cheating and stuff. And
but are you sure it's because of your head that she's doing this?
Yes. Because, like, okay, it's a creative writing class, and she's a writer who has no talent.
Uh-huh.
Because why would she be teaching in a high school?
Well, I don't know if that's really a valid...
She has no talent, though. She does. Like... Millions of people agree on it, and, like, she picks on us constantly. Like, she'll be like, you're like, she's, like, yelled at us in front of the class, and we, like, yell back at her. But no matter what we do, she will not kick us out of the class.
Really?
Really, she won't kick us out.
So why do you think she won't kick you out?
Because she wants to torture us.
Really?
I mean, I'd say her name over the radio.
No, don't do that.
Maybe listening or something.
You can say the school district if you want.
It's Center Reach School District.
No, that's wrong. Try again.
Mill Country. I
guess. That's right. I was just saying Center Reach School District. I know that.
No, but I don't know. She's like, she's evil. She's the root of all evilness.
Uh-huh.
People.
Well, I'm sure she's legendary in those parts.
She is. She practices witchcraft.
No, she doesn't.
She does, too. We came in the first day of school, and she told us, I'm a witch, and I practice witchcraft.
Well, I mean, that elevates her position in my mind, because people who practice, you know, first of all, they're not witches, the kind that ride around on broomsticks. It's actually
know,
a very
she,
interesting
like,
thing.
I know, she, like, practices, like, mind, like...
Uh-huh. It's a very progressive type of a thing.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that she can't be an utter idiot anyway, but, you know, it makes her more interesting in my view.
Yeah, I try to be nice to her and all, but she always, like, has to be mean to me no matter what I do to her.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. She just...
Have you tried giving her a hug?
She's too good to give a hug.
It's just a thought.
I'd like to be nice to her, but...
On TV, that would work, you know? If you hug someone on TV, it's just like all of a sudden all the problems go away. But, I don't know, in real life, I think you get shot if you try that.
Also, people hate skaters in my school, too.
And especially skinhead skaters.
Yeah.
The double SK there.
Yeah, they hate them for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, my teacher told me he likes... Because I like skate. And he was like, I saw you skating on the road and I almost hit you in the middle of a social studies class. And everybody, like, looked at me like I had five heads that day.
Well, it was amazing that he was able to control those urges of his.
He's like, I almost hit you. You gotta be more careful.
Oh, he didn't want to hit you.
What?
He didn't want to hit you.
I don't know. He probably did because he's the root
of thought he was angry because he missed.
He probably was.
Yeah.
I don't know. He pisses me, though.
Well, you know, in all time, people have taken a lot of flack because they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that tells you that the thing to do is be as different as possible, because that's the only way you're going to, A, get people's attention, and, B, find yourself. Because you find yourself when you've got to stand up in the face of all kinds of adversity. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're just accepted by everybody, if you're, you know, Joe Quarterback or whatever, and everybody loves you, and you're, you know, just the same as all the people you hang out with, you know, what do you get out of it? You don't get any kind of individual development.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I painted my nails black last year, and everyone said I was a Satan worshiper for doing it.
They said what?
I was a Satan worshiper.
Because you painted your nails black.
Yes. It was, like, the most ridiculous thing, because, like, I wear crosses. I'm really religious, you know.
I would say that would make you a goth. You're not a goth, are you?
What's a goth? I'm not too sure about that.
You know, gothic dressing in black all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't dress in black all the time. Like, everybody says I look like a ghost, and that bothers me to look really pale, but...
Uh-huh. People make all kinds of insensitive remarks. Like, they'll never think of calling someone fat, but they will call somebody thin.
Yeah.
You know, and it's... either way, it's your physical anatomy. You can't really control it.
I saw Nirvana tonight, too.
Oh, Nirvana.
They sucked.
Really?
They sucked big time. I liked them when they first came out.
Well, that's what I hear from everybody, that they were, you know, they were different when they first came out, but now they're just sort of, you know, they're mainstream.
But they conform so much to everything that's evil now.
Well, give me examples.
Like playing on Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
That show is the root of all evil now.
Well, wait a minute. Why is Saturday Night Live the root of all evil?
Because, like, everybody watches it. It would be good, like, if no one watched it.
Wait, did they do a good sketch on Bush throwing up?
It was okay.
Well, what did they do? Tell me.
Okay. You know,
I can't believe I'm asking this on the radio. But...
Okay, you know, what's his name? He did that movie Wall Street. Oliver Stone. Okay, they did Oliver Stone.
JFK, too. You know what we've been talking about.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't go to the movies a lot.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Well, anyway, they did Oliver Stone, and he was, like, trying to find, like, he thinks, like, they had, like, alternative motives for him throwing up.
Really?
Yeah. He was, like, trying to find a movie in, like, President falling and throwing up.
Uh-huh. And what were some of the things he pointed to?
He had a videotape of it. And, like, you could tell. It was so cheap how they did this. They, like, had him throw up, and then, like, they'd rewind it quick.
Yeah.
And, like, it would go... You know when you, like, rewind and the TV's playing and you can see it go back in?
Uh-huh.
That's how it was. It was, like, so cheap. It was, like... It was really bad. It, like, insulted the intelligence of viewers.
But what did it show?
Showed him throwing up.
Uh-huh.
It was disgusting. I didn't want to see the president throw up.
But what was Oliver Stone person trying to prove?
He was trying to prove that they, like, cut out, like, parts for the videotape when they show him throwing up. Like, he actually threw up many, many times instead of one time.
Uh-huh.
It was...
They just kept playing it over and over again, making it seem like it was many times.
Yeah, it was really stupid. It was. It just was stupid.
All right, I'm glad you tuned in to this instead, then.
Yeah, it's Pat.
Yeah.
Why don't they just say what she is? Or he, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I want to know... Like, it's Pat plays strip poker, and of course you know she's going to win.
Uh-huh.
and everyone else lost, and you never get to see her identity. I hate that.
Yeah.
I just want to know what she is, or he, or whatever it is.
Well, we may never know.
And, oh, and Nirvana is on 120 Minutes tomorrow night, too.
Really? On MTV?
They were on the Headbangers Ball.
I thought that 120 Minutes was for, you know...
Alternative?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but they have Dave Kendall. I hate Dave Kendall.
Uh-huh.
He reminds me of a Guido sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Guidos are nice. Like, I'm friendly with Guidos, you know. But, like, I'm not friendly with them when they, like, call me names and stuff. You know?
Uh-huh. Right. That would hold true, I guess, for anything.
I don't particularly care for it. Like, I have a friend, you know, she's a Guido, and, like, we're pretty good friends. We eat together in lunch and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like... I forgot what I was saying.
How does your friend react when you call her a Guido?
She jokes around with me. She doesn't mind.
She doesn't mind. That's good.
No, she doesn't. Because, like, she knows I'm joking and, you know, I wouldn't... She's, like, really nice. She was, like, the only really nice person to me when I came into the school. You know, because, like, I just came in, like, the first day and everybody stared at me when I walked... I remember this one class, Spanish. The whole class stared at me when I walked in.
Yeah?
Like I was some evil person.
Dan, you should play the part.
No,
you should cast people with curses and things like that, you know?
I'm not evil, you know, and... But I'm... I mean, would you like... My grandma called me a Satan worshiper once.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
My mom yelled at her for it.
That's pretty heavy stuff there.
I think my grandmother is the root of all evil now.
Well, maybe she's trying to recruit you.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's always possible.
Because, no, I've seen newspapers that come into the house. Are like these evil newspapers.
Evil newspapers, huh?
And I think that girl who called in and said she wants to be raped by a skinhead.
Yeah.
That was like really stupid.
Well, we get stupid people calling occasionally.
Why would you want to like say that you want to get raped by somebody? I mean, that's what women are trying to fight for, you know. And by just saying that you want to get raped, that's going to make more guys think that there are women out there who are like that.
Uh-huh.
When there really isn't. That's like, that would just be like saying that you're a man and that you want to be, if you're a black man, you want to be a slave.
Right.
Yeah. Love to be enslaved.
I think all it proves really is that given the opportunity, people will say about the dumbest thing that'll pop into their heads.
I mean, that's really...
Given the opportunity.
No, but it's 1:35. I'm going to bed now because I want to get on the radio.
Okay, well, you succeeded in doing that, and before you go to sleep, you might want to listen to the next thing that we
I'm
going
to listen to it. I want to finish the show, but I want more people to get on because I feel bad.
Okay.
There are people who want to call, so thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, and good luck.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Yeah, there's lots of individuals out there. You just got to look around and find them because they're everywhere. All right, we're going to make a call to one of our hotlines that we've called in the past. To show people what's out there, what it really sounds like. Here we go. The actual sound of a phone ringing. Shocking, isn't it? I bet you didn't think we'd broadcast something like this. Well, enough controversy. Let's try for another, even more shocking number that we've got lying around. I don't usually call two such shocking things in one night, but, the moon is almost full.
You have reached WAR, White Aryan Resistance. For a free packet of pro-white material from around the country and around the world, send $5 cash or money order to 1119 South Mission Avenue, number 330, Fallbrook, California, 92028. We will also include our latest WAR tabloid just off the press, 20 big pages of racist, seditionist, and anti-Iron Heel news. You remember during the Kennedy administration, Chinese refugees were then flooding across the border from Red China into Hong Kong. It wasn't too long following his election in 1960. Kennedy, by presidential action, opened up the U.S. immigration floodgates in behalf of those Hong Kong refugees. So with as many thousands of Southeast Asian refugees following collapse of the old Saigon regime to the communists, especially the Vietnamese, and most notably the ethnic Chinese. You recall Uncle Sam's generosity. In addition to opening up our immigration floodgates, our hard-earned tax dollars paid all expenses of immigration and resettlement, including welfare payments. Our generous tax dollars even financed these refugees' small business startups as we continued coddling and pampering third-world Asians. But now, we've been knifed in the back as their gratitude. During the 1989 hurricane off the East Coast, Chinese and Vietnamese profiteers brought up many portable gas-powered electric generators, which they turned around to sell to our own white American refugees of the storm at exorbitant profits in the Carolinas, which was especially hard hit. And now the latest. Chinese, including those refugees from Vietnam, which Uncle Sam's generosity helped in their business successes, are today's wealthy landlords. And they also expressed their gratitude to us white Americans by once again knifing us in the back with exorbitant rent gouging of our own white American homeless refugees from the fire in the East Bay. This is how they are paying us back. Stabbing us in the back, fully knowing they have those poor, burned-out homeless who lost everything right where they want them. It's about time those spineless, corrupt politicians and bureaucrats began feeling the whip of white anger. We're looking forward to more evictions occurring in those Southeast Asian refugee barrios in Lowell, Massachusetts, and in the California counties of Fresno, Madera, Solano, Sacramento, and other Central Valley counties where extraordinarily high concentrations of Southeast Asian refugees are presently concentrated. Lowell, Massachusetts, reputedly has among the highest concentration of Cambodians, thanks to Katie Dukakis, and is now named Phnom Penh West. And finally, they're doing something about all those Vietnamese boat people in Hong Kong. For too long, these Vietnamese back in their own homeland have been receiving false rumors on America being a land of milk and honey with streets paved in gold. And there's been some basis for this claim on account of many of those 80% of Southeast Asian refugees on welfare has been repatriating portions of our hard-earned tax dollars to their relatives in Vietnam. Doesn't it get you angry when these politicians and bureaucrats continue lying to us Americans by hiding the fact that the only reason why these Vietnamese continue heading for Hong Kong is because of the simple, blunt fact of these Vietnamese being fully aware of their strong expectation on sucker Uncle Sam opening up our floodgates as 1997 fast approaches, allowing in many millions of Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan Chinese. And these Vietnamese fully expect hopping upon the Hong Kong boatlift or airlift bandwagon to America. Otherwise, why in the name of hell haven't these Vietnamese taken the much, much shorter and simpler route of heading for Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Australia, or Singapore? And another thing, what is the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, doing about it? Nothing. It's their problem, not Uncle Sam's. The ASEAN nations have all been looking the other way, sweeping the problem under the rug, as usual, expecting sucker Uncle Sam to take care of the refugee problem. As they continue going along with business as usual, they are emerging as economic and industrial powerhouses called the emerging tiger nations of Southeast Asia, especially Taiwan, Singapore, and Thailand. In fact, these tiger nations have been suffering severe labor shortages, most especially Singapore. Why can't these tiger nations contract to hire these Southeast Asian refugees? Furthermore, America has steadily been losing jobs as U.S. manufacturing plants continue relocating to Southeast Asia. Let's at least ship these Southeast Asian welfare freeloaders along with those manufacturing plants. Wake up, white men and women. Wives, talk to your husbands. It's the future of your beautiful children we are talking about. Again, for literature, videotapes, and books, write to 1119 South Mission Avenue, number 330, Fallbrook, California, 92028, or call our national update number, area code 619-723-8996. And remember, San Francisco, this is war.
I'm sorry. The person you are trying to reach cannot receive messages. Please try later. To transfer to your own mailbox, press 1. To hear your options again, press 0.
Okay, I'm going to try hacking this thing now. Let's hear our options now.
To transfer to your own mailbox, press 1. To hear your options again, press 0.
I guess we don't have too many options. Okay, so we'll do 1.
Please dial your password and press pound.
Ah, password. Okay, let's try something like Hitler. And press pound.
Please dial your mailbox number and press pound. Or press star to cancel and redial your password.
Now I need a mailbox number. Well, I guess 666 would be a good guess. And pound.
Your password does not match your mailbox number.
Oh, dear.
Please dial your password and press pound. Or press star to cancel and redial your mailbox number.
All right, I'm just going to press star now.
Please dial your mailbox number and press pound.
Ah, I'm going
to
hit...
Or press star to cancel and redial your password.
Okay. Let me hit pound now and see what happens.
Your password does not match your mailbox number.
Oh, dear.
Please dial your password and press pound. Or press star to cancel and redial your mailbox number.
Let's redial mailbox number.
Please dial your mailbox number and press pound. Or press star to cancel and redial your password.
So I guess I can just keep doing this forever. Let me hit a 0. And then a pound sign.
Voicemail cannot match your password with your mailbox. Please hang up and try again later. Thank you. Goodbye.
Ah, rats. Ah, I wanted to get into that thing. Well, maybe someday, folks. Maybe someday we'll be able to crack that system. But that's one of the white Aryan news lines that are out there. And as you can hear, there's quite a lot of activity. So in case people tell you that it's all in your imagination, you've got something concrete to point to. 632-6901 is our telephone number in case you've got something you'd like to say. Area code 516-632-6901. We only have about 13 minutes left, so if you want to call us, now would be as good a time as any. Good morning.
Hello, you saw the president throw up, right?
I saw what? Yeah, the president throw up? I certainly did.
Don't cut me, because my friend Moreno told me that that his bike slipped in his throw up. You know if that's true?
His wife slipped... I don't think so. According to the film that has not yet been released, she backed away when the Secret Service people gently placed his head on the floor or something like that. But at no time was it said that she slipped in his... Yeah, right. But that is an important point, something that, you know, I'm sure will be revealed in future films and documentaries.
Yeah.
If there's anything to it.
You got all these weird people calling in.
I certainly do.
Yeah.
But let's give as many of them a chance as possible to get through. Any other points?
Well, I don't know. I might be one.
Well, there's always that possibility. But you might very well be one. Well, that person breaking in on the phone line might be one, too. 632-6901. Let's hear from another weirdo. Good evening.
Oh, this is Andrew Goldberger. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. Okay. What's on your mind?
I just want to know, in 2051, are they going to release a film on Bush throwing up?
Well, that's a general speculation here, is that there is hidden information someplace.
I think I'm going to put it together a movie on my theory, and you want to hear my theory? It's not dirty or anything.
What's your theory?
Okay, after eating sushi, Bush fainted.
Yeah.
And he fell under the table. And when he woke up, you know, he did faint before, right?
That's what I heard.
Okay, and when he woke up, since his wife was sitting right across from him, he looked, you know, right up her dress and then just threw up.
Oh, boy, that's something there. I mean, this is the President of the United States we're talking about here. You know, a little respect is in order, Andrew, a little respect.
He is a down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, he certainly is, and he was right down-to-earth then.
Yeah, but do you know he took calcium right before that? And that's already banned in England.
Calcium is banned in England?
Yes, it is. And in fact, you should know about that because in Stony Brook Hospital, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Mendelsohn.
I've heard of Dr. Mendelsohn's in the past, so I imagine there could be one in...
No, he's a sleep disorder doctor, and there's only 10 sleep disorder centers in the country. And he went over to England to try to convince them that calcium shouldn't be banned. But, you know... I'm sure you've heard of the H-bomb and, you know, people slipping it into drinks and everything like that. So
right.
He banned it. So I don't know if it's banned in Japan, but he took about, you know, triple the dose, they say, and that's why he fainted.
That's why he fainted?
Yeah, that's what one news report said.
The president was on drugs?
Yeah, he's thinking, you know, maybe Clarence Thomas is next, I don't know.
You know, they always hit you at your highest point.
And Dino Prodigy.
Those damn Colombians, that's who it is.
What?
Colombians, that's who's behind this. You know that now. Well, there's drugs involved. There's Colombians involved.
Prodigy brought the news 6 minutes before CNN. And they have to type it in. You know Prodigy, right?
Yeah, I'm aware of them. And I don't have very much love towards them either, I might say. But
why? Because of the Jewish thing?
Because of all kinds of things. Because they don't seem to know what freedom of speech is. And
that's true, yeah. I'm
a couple other things, but I won't get into it now because we don't have enough time. But that's hard to believe that an online computer service would have the news. How do you know that they had it 6 minutes before CNN?
I was actually on the time they actually posted it.
Really? Well, it could be their clocks are just wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
And it could be they're sleazy enough to, like, you know, type in the time that it happened as the time the story was written.
Right. And, okay, I just want to discuss one more thing.
Yeah.
I just want to discuss the newspaper politics versus the freedom of press, because, you know, like the New York Times and everything like that, did you ever notice that they're always, you know, making fun of JFK and everything like that?
Yeah. I was pointing out that before.
Someone can't direct and everything like that. But if they honestly, you know, take a people's perspective, everyone who saw it liked it, from what I hear.
Yeah.
And they thought it was interesting, and it's pretty hard to make a three-hour movie interesting. It's pretty hard to keep them at the edge of their seat.
Right, a three-hour non-action film. It really is. There's not very much action in there.
No, and it just shows the same thing over and over again, the same person talking about the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. And how can all these people, like the New York Times, I guess it's just because of the politics of they want to be right, because the 19, whenever he died, 69 was, right? When he died, when JFK died, they just
63
printed this. They printed the story, and then, you know, I just don't like it.
Yeah, they didn't do their job. They didn't go and uncover things and find things that needed to be found.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with Oliver Stone's perspective of it. I did see the movie, and
he makes you think, and it makes you, you know, raise questions.
Oh, it does. It raises a lot of questions. It proves the other one wrong. Except I don't necessarily think that he proved his theory right. I think it's somewhere in between there.
Were
something
you,
happened, and
Andrew, let me just ask you this: were you aware there was a garrison in real life?
Oh yeah.
Before the film.
What?
Before the film.
I didn't understand.
Before that. You saw the film, were you aware of what this guy Garrison had done?
Oh no.
How come? How come nobody was aware of that? You see, that's one of the things I have a big problem with. If someone had these kind of questions and these kind of pictures and evidence and things like that, and if there was actually a trial, how come we never knew about it? How come it hasn't been repeatedly reinforced and told to us that this is what happened?
But according to them, we have to wait 70 years to find out. Why? That's... Because I guess, you know, some of the heat they don't get. I really don't understand it at all.
No, it doesn't make much sense. So let's hope that some people power will do something.
Yeah, but I mean, how can you give that movie one star?
That's insane.
That's if you don't agree with it. Fine, if you don't agree with it, one thing. Is it a powerful movie that will, I mean, it's just, I don't understand it.
Right, it's not what the film says, it's how it says it. And I don't see how you can give something one star because you don't agree with its conclusions.
Or the editors don't agree with it, or the publisher, or the owner, or whatever, but... I mean, papers all around the country are doing this, and
That tells you something about what the film is saying. What the film is saying is true in that regard. It's a conspiracy of sorts there as well. Do you think it'll do well at the Emmys?
Controversial for the Emmys. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, the Emmys and all the award shows. They're very, you know, they're very non-risque, and I don't think they would. I mean, it might win some videography awards or something like that, but I don't think it'll win movie of the film of the year or whatever.
Actually, that'd be an Oscar. That would not be an Emmy. Emmy's a TV, right?
Yeah. Oh, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. But,
yeah, I don't either, obviously.
But still, no, I thought it was an excellent movie. I suggest you all see it, and I hope this is like a forum that can tell people to go out and see it.
Yeah,
it really
go out
you
and see
it.
That thing. Sorry?
Did you see it yet?
Yes, I did. I saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I'll tell you, the best way to see it is in a theater with a crowd of people, definitely. It's not the kind of... I mean, yeah, it'll work on video, too, but it works so much better in a theater, I think.
Yeah, you gotta go. That's one to see. I mean, I haven't seen a movie in like 5 years, but it was good.
A lot of people should go see things.
That's all I have to say.
All right, Andrew, good hearing from you.
All right, no problem.
Take care. Good morning.
Yeah, hello, hi.
How you doing?
That first girl call you had before about Rape by Skinheads.
Yeah?
Well, I like to give her a message.
All right.
I know it's getting late, and I like your phone number, and I'll...
Good morning. Good morning.
I'd just like to say, wake up, dogs.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to say hi to Trudy Skeet. Work.
All right, you did. Good morning.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, hi. One thing, well, don't cut me off here. I just want to say happy birthday to my friend Jim.
Okay, that's no problem.
He's a regular caller on your show, so...
That's no problem either.
And I missed his birthday, so I figured I'd get it back for him.
Well, that could be a problem, but it's not my concern.
All right.
Anything else on your mind?
Yeah. all this talk about this JFK thing.
Yeah.
It probably is a conspiracy. I mean, we talk about our government being a democracy and everything, but yet our government's probably one of the most corrupt governments in the world.
Uh-huh.
Not the most corrupt government in the world. It's just that people don't see it.
Certainly the largest corrupt government in the world.
Yep. Just the bureaucracy alone is incredible.
And it doesn't necessarily mean the whole thing is rotten to the core. I mean, any government is going to have corruption in it. And you've got to, find it. And, you know, there's good and bad elements in every government. And people who think that their whole government is pristine and marvelous is naive.
Yeah, well, as a wise man I once knew said, question everything. That includes everything.
Uh-huh.
Never take anything for face value.
Yeah, and always assume. A good reporter should always assume he's being lied to.
Yep.
When he's being given answers. And when someone tells you something and you're a reporter... You got to prove that they're telling the truth.
Yep.
And just go on the assumption that they're lying. And that's, you might say that's a very cynical way of looking at things, but it's also the only way you're going to find out if something really is true.
Exactly. Never take anything for face value, because otherwise you're going to be screwed.
Uh-huh. All right. I think those are good words to end on tonight.
All right, then.
Thanks for calling.
Good night.
But we're not going to end right on those words. Let's keep going and see how many other calls we can cram in here. Good morning.
Ever noticed that they had those clan and war message things? They always repeat things that they always want people to remember.
Like?
Like, welfare beggars.
Uh-huh.
Things they kept saying it over and over again on the dole of Uncle Sam.
Yeah, they want to reinforce certain catchphrases. If they can get you to say those same catchphrases, even if they can't get you to agree with everything they say, they've gotten you to a degree.
The wake up white people thing, too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, and that girl said the Saturday Night Live is like the everybody watches it.
Yeah.
Howard Stern show beat it.
Well, somehow that doesn't make me feel much better.
But, great, though.
Okay. Well, that's something. That's some bit of information. I'm on opposite Howard Stern and Saturday Night. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, you're on after them, actually.
No, I'm not. Well, I'm on after them, yeah, by a little bit, but I'm also on during them, right?
Oh. Their show, I don't know, Stern's show is over at 12.
Okay.
Your show starts at 12.
Yeah, but Saturday Night starts at 11:30. Of course, some people would say it's over at 11:30 too, but...
I don't even watch it.
Yeah, well, I certainly don't. Anyway, thanks for calling.
Hey.
All right. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that girl that called before and she said she was a skinhead and everybody's making fun of her?
Yeah.
Well, she goes to Center Ridge High School. I think she's wrong because I'm a skater. Nobody ever makes fun of me. I'm popular. I have a lot of friends in school.
Yes, but I don't think you're a female, are you?
Yeah, but...
It's probably different.
Oh, she said skaters.
Well, skater and skinhead, too, right?
I'm not a skinhead.
Okay, I think she, did you paint your nails black? And
She said skaters in my school, too.
Yeah, well, yes, I mean, that as well. But I think most of the reason why she gets a hard time is because of her physical appearance, like the things that she does that's slightly different.
I mean, it looks like a freak.
You see, I think you've proven it very well. Good morning.
Hi, I wanted to talk about a conspiracy theory I had about it. There's not enough time.
Well, there's about enough time. I mean, it's not like a conspiracy to keep you quiet, but just make it quick.
Well, I was thinking, because Oswald was killed before he went to trial.
Right.
And they never, found any other suspects.
Right.
And maybe it was...
He was killed by somebody who knew him,
killed,
too.
Maybe he was killed by somebody in the CIA. It was like, another assassination to just, end the search for another suspect.
Uh-huh.
Maybe... I don't know if Jack Ruby ever went to jail for this or whatever,
Yeah, he did. He died in jail.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and I believe it was another great film, Star Trek VI, that said the first rule of assassination, always kill the assassins.
Because, if they really... And if why aren't these secret files opened up if there's... if the government claims there's no... there's nothing to...
That's a good question, and I think it's a question we should keep asking repeatedly until they are.
Yeah, I think they're waiting until... All the people that were involved in the Warren Commission are either dead or retired.
Uh-huh.
Before they open up the files and see who was lying.
All right, listen, we're going to have to make that the last word tonight.
All right, can I say hi to Samantha, who called before?
Go ahead.
Okay, hi, Samantha.
How you doing? Okay. Thanks. Thanks for calling.
All right, good night.
And sorry to everybody else we didn't get a chance to get to tonight. Sorry, I was just out of time. I mean, you can't blame me for time, can you? Well, I know some people will try. But that's going to do it for Brain Damage tonight. I won't be here next week, and I won't be here the week after that. And but I probably will be here the week after that, which is 3 weeks from now. The big guy is here waiting patiently to play all kinds of neat stuff. We're going to go out with a live version of The Clash. The Clash doing a live version of a song I'm sure many people will remember. So stay healthy and don't catch what the president's got. See you in 3 weeks. This is WUSB in Stony Brook.
Shall I come marching home again? Around, it's gonna be by bus or underground the road. Oh, I was out of the city.